Let's read together 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 13 through 46. In this extensive portion of 1 Kings chapter 2, we have the record of King Solomon's righteous purge of all opposition to the throne of the rightful king. 1 Kings chapter 2, beginning now at verse 13. Now Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. So she said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably." Moreover, he said, "I have something to say to you." And she said, "Say it." Then he said, "You know that the kingdom was mine, and all Israel had set their expectations on me, that I should reign. However, the kingdom has been turned over and has become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. Now I ask one petition of you. Do not deny me." And she said to him, "Say it." Then he said, "Please speak to King Solomon, for he will not refuse you, that he may give me Abishag the Shunammite as wife." So Bathsheba said, "Very well, I will speak for you to the king." Bathsheba therefore went to King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed down to her and sat down on his throne and had a throne set for the king's mother. So she sat at his right hand. Then she said, "I desire one small petition of you. Do not refuse me." And the king said to her, "Ask it, my mother, for I will not refuse you." So she said, "Let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah, your brother, as wife." And King Solomon answered and said to his mother, "Now why do you ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also, for he is my older brother, for him and for Abiathar the priest, and for Joab the son of Zeruiah." Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, "May God do so to me, and more also, if Adonijah has not spoken this word against his own life. Now therefore, as the Lord lives, who has confirmed me and set me on the throne of David my father, and who has established a house for me, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death today." So King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he struck him down, and he died. And to Abiathar the priest, the king said, "Go to Anathoth, to your own fields, for you are deserving of death. But I will not put you to death at this time, because you carried the ark of the Lord God before my father David, and because you were afflicted every time my father was afflicted." So Solomon removed Abiathar from being priest to the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord which he spoke concerning the house of Eli at Shiloh. Then news came to Joab, for Joab had defected to Adonijah, though he had not defected to Absalom. So Joab fled to the tabernacle of the Lord and took hold of the horns of the altar. And King Solomon was told, "Joab has fled to the tabernacle of the Lord. There he is by the altar." Then Solomon sent Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, saying, "Go strike him down." So Benaiah went to the tabernacle of the Lord and said to him, "Thus says the king, come out." And he said, "No, but I will die here." And Benaiah brought back word to the king, saying, "Thus said Joab, and thus he answered me." Then the king said to him, "Do as he has said, and strike him down and bury him, that you may take away from me and from the house of my father the innocent blood which Joab shed. So the Lord will return his blood on his head, because he struck down two men more righteous and better than he, and killed them with a sword, Abner the son of Ner, the commander of the army of Israel, and Amasa the son of Jether, the commander of the army of Judah, though my father David did not know it. Their blood shall therefore return upon the head of Joab and upon the head of his descendants forever. But upon David and his descendants, upon his house and his throne, there shall be peace forever from the Lord." So Benaiah the son of Jehoiada went up and struck and killed him, and he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. The king put Benaiah the son of Jehoiada in his place over the army, and the king put Zadok the priest in the place of Abiathar. Then the king sent and called for Shimei and said to him, "Build yourself a house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and do not go out from there anywhere. For it shall be on the day you go out and cross the brook Kidron, know for certain you shall surely die. Your blood shall be on your own head." And Shimei said to the king, "The saying is good. As my lord the king has said, so your servant will do." So Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. Now it happened at the end of 3 years that two slaves of Shimei ran away to Achish, the son of Maacah, king of Gath. And they told Shimei, saying, "Look, your slaves are in Gath." So Shimei rose, saddled his donkey, and went to Achish at Gath to seek his slaves. And Shimei went and brought his slaves from Gath. And Solomon was told that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and had come back. Then the king sent and called for Shimei and said to him, "Did I not make you swear by the Lord and warn you, saying, 'Know for certain that on the day you go out and travel anywhere, you shall surely die?' And you said to me, 'The word I have heard is good.' Why then have you not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I gave you?" The king said moreover to Shimei, "You know, as your heart acknowledges, all the wickedness that you did to my father David. Therefore the Lord will return your wickedness on your own head. But King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever." So the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he went out and struck him down, and he died. Thus the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. Let's consider some background notes. Obviously, this is not the most pleasant chapter in the Bible. I mean, the execution of three men, Adonijah, Joab, and Shimei, is not the most comforting passage of Scripture. Solomon's purge of all opposition to the throne was justified because it was righteous judgment. Everyone that Solomon executed was guilty of some crime that was punishable by death, and Solomon was bringing them to justice. Wickedness and evil must be dealt with in righteous judgment. Guilty people must be brought to justice. For example, terrorists are wicked and guilty of crime and must be brought to justice. The civil authorities must bring evildoers to justice. Now, that's exactly what King Solomon, as head of state, is doing in this chapter. Listen to the good counsel of Proverbs 20, verse 26. "A wise king sifts out the wicked and brings the threshing wheel over them." In other words, evildoers must be brought to justice, even if it means the death penalty. This truth is certainly backed up in the New Testament. Romans 13, verse 4. So Solomon was doing the right thing in bringing these wrongdoers to justice. In the case of Adonijah, verses 13 through 25, Solomon perceived the real reason for Adonijah's request to marry Abishag. Adonijah was making another move to take over the throne. Abishag had been David's concubine, even though he did not have a sexual relationship with her. Chapter 1, verse 4. A king's harem was considered the property of the king in that culture and was passed on to the next king. By obtaining Abishag as a wife, Adonijah would then have two claims to the throne. Number one, he was the older brother of Solomon. And number two, he would be married to one of the women of King David's harem. But Solomon saw through Adonijah's ruse and brought this traitor to justice. In the case of Abiathar the priest, verses 26 and 27, Solomon replaced him with Zadok the priest because Abiathar had sided with Adonijah in his illegal bid for the throne. Zadok was also in the line of Aaron and thus rightly qualified to be high priest. Furthermore, Abiathar's removal was a fulfillment of the prophecy pronounced against the high priest Eli for his sins back in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Notice verse 27 here. In the case of Joab, verses 28 through 35, Solomon properly exercised the death penalty here because Joab had murdered two military generals in cold blood. In the case of Shimei, verses 36 through 46, Solomon gave him an opportunity to prove his loyalty and live. Remember, Shimei had maliciously cursed David, the Lord's anointed. David had shown mercy to Shimei, but had not pardoned him. Solomon continued to show mercy to Shimei by letting him enjoy full privileges within the kingdom, but he must stay within the city limits of Jerusalem to prove his loyalty. If he disobeyed this royal edict, he would forfeit his life. Shimei obeyed for 3 years, but then he thought he had a good reason to disobey. but it cost him his life. Thus, all potential threats to Solomon's reign were removed, and Solomon's throne and kingdom were firmly established. Let's move now to our doctrinal points. Doctrinal point number one, the kingdom of Christ will be established with righteous judgment. The kingdom of Christ will be established with righteous judgment. We've already mentioned in our talks from 1 Kings that King Solomon is a type of Christ, especially of Christ in his glory as king. As the Queen of Sheba said of the glory of Solomon's reign, the half has not been told, 1 Kings 10:7. So believers will say the same of the glory of Christ's kingdom in a coming day. And the glorious kingdom of Christ on this earth will be established in righteous judgment, the book of Revelation, as well as our Lord's Olivet Discourse, together with many Old Testament prophecies, indicate that when the Lord returns to this earth to set up his kingdom, he will come back with righteous judgment. Just as Solomon's glorious kingdom began and was established in righteous judgment, so the earthly kingdom of our Lord will be established in righteous judgment when he returns. Doctrinal point number two, the kingdom of Christ will be established in peace. The kingdom of Christ will be established in peace. We read at the end of this chapter, thus the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. Solomon's reign was characterized by peace. You know, before Solomon's time, we read of wars in Israel, primarily with the Philistines. After Solomon's time, we read of wars in Israel with various enemies. But during Solomon's time, we don't read of wars. It was a time of peace. You know, I believe this adds to the spiritual picture that we have here. We know that when Christ returns and sets up his kingdom on this earth, there will be a great time of peace on this earth. Peace like there's never been before. There will even be peace in the animal kingdom. The wolf will lie down with the lamb, Isaiah chapter 11. What a great time that will be. As the kingdom of Solomon was established in peace, so the kingdom of Christ will be established in peace. Practical application. You cannot know peace in your heart if there is opposition to Christ in your life. You cannot know peace in your heart if there is opposition to Christ in your life. Since Solomon is definitely a type or picture of Christ as our glorious king, I think we can make this spiritual application. As Solomon, in righteous judgment, removed all opposition so that there would be peace, so we must let the Lord deal with us and remove from our lives whatever is in opposition to him. Only then can we really know the peace of God in our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says that we should bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Let me ask you, how is your thought life? Are all your thoughts captive and obedient to Christ? You cannot know peace in your heart if there is opposition to Christ in your life.